Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this September the 7th. Hope you're having a good day. Of course, all of our prayers with the people in the path of the Hurricane Irma. Boy, the devastation. The pictures coming in from St. Martin and Barbuda. Pretty much Barbuda was leveled, but it's really been a bad scene. Let's hope that the storm veers a little bit more to the east and misses the Florida Peninsula. The Buckmaster Show live line open for you, 790-2040. If you'd like to join in the conversation, I'd like to introduce now to our listeners the new superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District, the second largest school district in the state, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. Dr. Trujillo, thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Bill. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Congratulations. You have been, were the interim while TUSD conducted, while the board conducted the search. You were the interim since March. Now, it's your show now, and you're running this district. And some of your thoughts now, as you have obviously a huge challenge ahead of you.
It is. It is a huge challenge. And first of all, it's not my show. It's our show. We have an incredible team of teachers and support staff and educational leaders inside of the Tucson Unified School District. But we also know that we have some huge challenges that we're prepared to face.
What's at the top of your list?
The absolute top of the list is the teacher shortage. It is an extreme case in the Tucson Unified School District to have triple digits of teacher vacancies. No other district in the state of Arizona faces the teacher shortage to the magnitude that TUSD does. Now, the teacher shortage is a nationwide phenomenon. It's just more pronounced in the Tucson Unified School District. So that tells me and our team that we have systems issues inside of human resources. We've got to take a look at how effective and efficient our systems are from the point of application of a teacher applicant to when that person is interviewed and offered a contract. We also have to look at salary. We've got to take a look at those hard-to-fill vacancies, primarily mathematics, special education, K-3 reading specialists. Those are really huge in a K-12 system where you're trying to increase student achievement. And then lastly, and probably the hardest area that we're going to have to really focus on when we're talking about recruitment and retention of teachers is working conditions and making sure that we have clean and safe and supportive campuses where teachers feel like they have a good command of the classroom when they can teach and do the things that they're asked to do without excessively having to manage disruptions and classroom management issues and navigating classroom and school safety issues.
In your 89 schools in the district's portfolio, Superintendent Trujillo, how many teachers are you short here, full-time teachers in your classroom as the school year gets underway?
We're still right there at 102. And
Whoa.
The most pronounced vacancy, we continue to struggle with the recruitment and retention of special education teachers in all areas. That vacancy alone is at 27. The good news is, thanks to some of the hardest working long-term subs in the state of Arizona, we do have every classroom filled with a long-term sub. But we all know that it's the presence of a highly qualified teacher on a permanent basis, day by day, establishing and nurturing great relationships with kids, as well as subject area expertise, that makes all the difference. And that's why the shortage really has my attention.
How about top-down structure of the district? This has been a complaint. The critics of the district say there's just too much, it's too top-heavy in the administration. What do you say to that?
I agree with that, because just in my first year working in the district, And being a part of the management team or the senior leadership team as the assistant superintendent, we just made a lot of decisions, I think, in isolation. We could have been more inclusive of teacher leaders, of administrative leaders, of principals, of assistant principals. Some of the most effective CEOs in the country, they get the best ideas by those that are closest to the factory lines. Usually it's the employee or the team member that's closest to the problem that has the best solutions. And I think that part of the management culture has been that it's the senior leadership team that assesses the situation and makes the decisions. And that's consistent with the feedback that I've heard as I visited the schools and I've met with principals and teachers.
And you've been to all 89 schools.
I've been to all 89 schools, yes.
And you hear that folks would like more of a stakeholder.
Folks want to be more of a stakeholder. Folks want to participate more in some of the decision-making that translates into policies that affect teachers at the classroom level and principals at the building level, absolutely.
All right, we're talking to Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, 790-2040. If you have any questions or comments for the new superintendent of TUSD, Chuck is with us now on the live line. Chuck, go ahead.
Yes, Dr. Trujillo. Yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, the AZ merit scores came out, and TUSD did very, very poorly in math and English. The charter schools did much better. I think this is one of your biggest problems. Students are not learning. They got to learn. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Chuck.
Yeah, I agree 100% with Chuck, and that's why, number one, you have to have a highly qualified, awesome teacher in every single classroom. That is problem number one, feeding the lack of student achievement in the Tucson Unified School District. Problem number two is with the teachers that we do have, we have not been effective in the past of providing them the necessary professional development during their contract day and during the contract year with regard to the resources and the skills that they need to utilize the district's curriculum, which is fully aligned to Arizona College and Career Readiness Standards. So when the only training and opportunities that teachers have to access the curriculum is after school or during the summer, we're not reaching the entire system. So we have to get better at that with the teachers that we do have. And then the third prong, if we're going to improve student achievement, we have to, on a school-by-school basis, create during-the-day opportunities while we have the kids to provide them interventions for struggles in math and English. If we continue to count on kids coming in after school, kids coming in during tutoring at lunch, that's just not going to happen. We've got to really take control of that time in a systematic way because we know who those kids are. We do. We have the reports. We know who the kids are. We have to have systems in every school that are able to do that early and often.
What is your thinking on this situation with the 800,000 dreamers, the so-called dreamers in the United States? I think there's 28,000 here in Arizona. I have no idea how many are in TUSD, but it's probably a fair number of dreamers in your district. Some of your thoughts on that?
Well, as any public school district in our great nation, we operate under the auspices of Plyler versus Doe, which really prevents any public school from checking immigration status on any kid. So we know that our kids are safe, all kids are safe on any TUSD campus at any point in time. There will be no immigration checks. There's nobody documenting whether somebody has legal status to be here.
Or there will be no immigration raids.
There will be no immigration raids.
TUSD campuses.
So we want our parents and our kids to understand that school is safe. School has always been safe, and it always will be, as part of children's 14th Amendment rights, right, to equal protection under the law. So with regard to how it affects our kids, while our kids may understand that, they may understand that while they're on school property or they're enrolled in the Tucson Unified School District, that it's a safe place to be and that they'll have equal access to a great education and opportunities. But I think the harder thing for our district going forward is how to answer those questions, especially from those seniors from Cholla to Santa Rita to Tucson High, that question of, well, what do I do next?
Yeah, what about their future?
Can I go to Pima Community College? Can I go to the University of Arizona? And that's work we're going to do together as we get more information.
All right, we're going to keep Dr. Trujillo with us for another segment, but before we do, I want to tell people about one of our fine sponsors, Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk, on the web at greenthingsaz.com, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out Green Things for everything you need to make your gardening a very special occasion. We'll be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, Tucson Transportation Director Daryl Cole will update our road restoration program. The Friday Roundtable features Dylan Smith at TucsonSentinel.com and Joe Ferguson of the Arizona Daily Star. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. The superintendent, the new official superintendent of the TUSD School District, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, is with us. He was the interim since March. I, for one, think it was a good decision by the board to name Dr. Trujillo. He's got great qualifications. He brings some stability to the district, and I think all of us, Dr. Trujillo, wish you well and want to make this district succeed, because economic opportunity, it just goes on and on. A good school district is so important. And how about rebranding TUSD? Because when people are saying TUSD, I think right off the bat, it brings up some kind of negative that we could do without.
That is something I noticed immediately. Yeah. as just finishing my first year as a resident of Pima County, new from Maricopa County. And I noticed with my neighbor, as there's no shortage of people on my street, as right. I live over in the West University neighborhood, that no, I'm the superintendent of Tucson Unified. Right. And so my neighbor does a pretty good job of telling me every day the things that have historically been challenges in the district. And continually as he talks about the eight superintendents in the last 20 years mm-hmm. and the transportation issues and the loss of enrollment and the continual teacher shortage and the 40 years of DSEG, it's a repetitive TUSD. And TUSD's never been able to hire teachers. And TUSD has had X amount of – and I notice when I change the conversation and I say – but Tucson Unified is also the place where we have amazing all-day kindergarten programs. Did you know that? Or we have
what?
Awesome two-way dual language programs yeah. in Tucson Unified. The whole tone of the conversation really changes. Mm-hmm. And I notice that with people around the city when I tell our story using the Tucson Unified phrase, it's almost just a different vibe and a different message. And I do think that a rebranding, mm-hmm. celebrating who we are as Tucson Unified. Because when you say Tucson Unified, it automatically denotes together for kids.
Right, bringing people together.
Bringing
right?
people together versus TUSD, which is still 40 years of the Unitary Status Plan and all the traditional issues that TUSD, that the Tucson Unified District has faced. So rebranding, I think is crucial to improving our perception in the community.
Inner city school districts like Tucson Unified do struggle with the enrollment issue. It's not necessarily a problem that has been unique to Tucson.
It is not. I think as Arizona is an open enrollment state, and I think you see the expansion of charters and you see the attempted expansion of vouchers, parents understand now that they have a choice and they're typically, there tends to be a stigma, there tends to be a perception, a stereotype about urban school districts, mm-hmm. where you do see a certain more affluent segment of any urban school district sort of opt out and opt in to schools that are smaller schools that
or go the charter
or go the charter route. And so I think in that sense, we're not unique, but I think that I don't want to give us permission to throw in the towel. I think it is incumbent upon us to look within and start to become that premier K-12 district that the city of Tucson needs us to be.
Does Mexican American Studies, which has had such a such a controversial and troubled past, what is its role in Tucson Unified as we go forward, especially in light of a federal court case that a judge ruling basically that the law had been racist?
Well, the very first thing that has to happen is our governing board needs to receive legal advice regarding its options, regarding the ramifications and explanation of the decision, its ramifications, its implications on the district, and their options as a governing board. So I think that has to happen first. Mm-hmm. Obviously, our governing board will discuss and consider the issue accordingly, but I think that's a crucial first step. And that's something that we're looking to provide them soon in an upcoming executive session.
A lot of folks don't understand this DSEG situation, which has been going on for 40 years. What are the advantages and the disadvantages of this ongoing legal, and some would say a legal cloud over the district?
Well, I see it as nothing but advantages. I think one of the things that I mentioned throughout my candidacy for the position is sort of a mindset change with the leadership team. And for us to stop using language like get out from under the DSEG plan or we have to do this or we need to do that, it really is, when you look at all the green areas and the provisions of the USP, opportunities to do amazing things for kids. Who would argue that increasing access and opportunity for advanced learning experiences like AP and AVID and honors for traditionally underserved populations is a bad idea? I mean, that's a great thing. Or the provision of culturally relevant instruction in social studies and American history and government and English language arts through varying perspectives. Who would say that that is a bad thing? So it provides us a great opportunity to do some outside-the-box creative things and to be leaders in urban education in America. And I think another advantage is the funding that's provided through desegregation that we receive and that opportunity to fund innovative programs, innovative positions, and to really do things differently. So I think it is definitely an opportunity that we have here with the Unitary Status Plan. I think the challenge with the Unitary Status Plan is really organizing our team to be able to implement it in an organized, systematic way and to improve our collaborative efforts and our communication with the plaintiff representatives. I think that that is probably the biggest challenge that we need to embrace and we need to get better at.
Dr. Gabriel Trujillo is with us on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. As far as enrollment, I think, my gosh, when I came 30 years ago and started here in town, TUST had a huge enrollment. I think it was like 70,000. Certainly that's been whittled away below 50,000. Many blame the charter schools. Why this perception that folks are going to get a better education for their kids at a charter school than a public school? Address that.
Well, I don't agree with that. I think that we need to look within. The Tucson Unified School District cannot throw in the towel and say, we have all these charters around and they're just taking the best of the best. I take a look at, if you look at one corner of the district, and this is the ideal vision for the Tucson Unified School District. There were plans to expand and build another basis charter on the I-19, right on the way to Nogales. Those plans were temporarily halted because who's in that corner of the district that makes it hard for a charter to succeed? Three amazing TUSD schools, Drachman, Tully, and Carrillo. So when you have three B and A-rated schools in one sector of the city, we are now creating a product that's so exceptional that it doesn't make it advantageous for a charter school to open up. We have to replicate that all over the Tucson Unified School District. And that means creating those conditions
where people are very proud in those.
Where people are very proud.
In their neighborhood, those are their neighborhood schools they're very proud of.
Absolutely. Yeah. Clean and safe schools with rigorous instruction, with great academic track records. That has to be the norm around the Tucson Unified School District. And then we have to replicate those programs and opportunities that, quite frankly, are taking our kids.
Can those schools be modeled?
We can. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. When you take a look at why students between the ages of 15 and 17 leave our system, it's typically because they're falling behind on their credits. That is a huge group of kids that we're losing that we can very easily replicate extended day programs. Kids leave charters because they offer those extended day programs. We have to look at doing that at our high schools, for example, right? Mm-hmm. We have to take a look at our recruitment efforts when kids are opting out of a Tucson Unified school after third grade. Mm-hmm. What's going on there? We've got to be able to look at, see what programs are taking those kids. So we've got some work to do, but we also have bright spots that we can look at and see, wow, Tully and Carrillo and Drachman, those parents are fiercely proud of their schools. What's going on there? And we need to be able to replicate that across the system.
There will be the bond election coming up, and a lot of those decisions, I believe, were made really not on your watch. But how do you feel about the bond situation at this point?
Well, I know how I feel about the district situation with capital funding, so I'm more free to speak about that.
Yeah.
There have been almost $200 million, around $160 million since the 2009 school year. $169 million in lost capital funding due to cuts from the state legislature. District additional assistance, which was originally an additional pot of money provided to schools for facilities and operations, also slashed. So over the last 7 or 8 years, this has translated to numerous high needs projects across the district, just coming to a screeching halt. When you now have 30 to 40 buses that are as old as 1997 without air condition.
Oh my goodness.
When you have broken drinking fountains across the district, when you have roofs in disrepair, when you've got playgrounds that lack the necessary equipment to provide kids a fundamental experience in school.
Pre-1960 building on the majority,
building,
majority of your buildings.
It sends a message to our student body,
yeah.
Okay, who we serve. It sends a message to them that they're less than. And I know that's not the intentional message, but that's what happens when you have large groups of students in portable buildings across the district and portable buildings that are in disrepair or portable buildings that have failing AC systems. So this bond is about meeting the needs of this district and really supporting the students and making sure that kids have a striving infrastructure that sends them the message that they matter.
All right, Dr. Trujillo, we want to wish you the very best. Thank you very much, and we will look to have you on the program. Try to get you in here every 6 weeks to give us an update on how things are going.
Mr. Buckmaster, I really appreciate it. In addition to being a guest, I am a tremendous fan, so thank you for having me.
Isn't that nice of you to say? Thank you very much. And before you go, I want to tell you and all our listeners, Silver City in Grant County makes a great weekend getaway. It's just about 3 hours from Tucson. 15 degrees cooler. That's a big selling point. I'll tell you, when you get up to that 5,000 to 7,000 foot elevation, great time of year to go hiking or just hang out in historic Silver City. Check out their great website, southwestnewmexico.org, for the complete list of the great places to stay and things to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. We talk travel, talking travel with Ryan Hansen right after this. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Time to crank up our travel talking segment with the Buckmaster Show travel industry contributor Ryan Hansen. Ryan is president, chief operating officer for Bon Voyage Travel. Bon Voyage celebrating now over 40 years of delivering a wide range of travel-related services to Southern Arizonans through four offices and a huge internet presence at bvtravel.com. Let the travel experts at Bon Voyage let you travel like an insider. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks, Bill, for having me on.
Well, you had a great summer. Both of us did some traveling. Your most recent traveling to the Cabo San Lucas area.
You bet. We took our best salespeople down to Cabo San Lucas last weekend, kind of thanking them for a great year of sales and contributions to our company. And it was an interesting time to travel. We all are very aware of everything going on in the Caribbean with Houston and Hurricane Harvey. Obviously, now all eyes on Hurricane Irma. But if you were paying attention to Cabo last weekend, it was Tropical Storm Lydia, which I may not have ever even thought of paying attention to that type of thing. But you and I have talked about this many, many times in the world of travel. Anything that happens in the world affects us, and we were right in the middle of it. So we were hunkered down in our hotel with mile-an-hour winds of upwards of 70 to 75 miles an hour with quite a bit of rain. And Cabo, in general, is in okay shape. Okay is probably the operative word. There's quite a bit of debris, but it wasn't devastation that maybe be happening with Hurricane Irma coming.
And I have shared with our listeners that in 1996, Ann and I were caught right and took a direct hit on the island of St. Martin from Hurricane Bertha. And we were on the hotel room floor and in the bathroom, anywhere we could escape it. For 18 hours, that thing roared. And I think the most important message in these type of weather-related incidents, there's one word that keeps popping out when you think about travel. It's somebody that you can trust and go to when you've got a travel emergency.
That's right. You need an advocate.
You do.
You don't want to, if you book it on your own, we talk about this all the time,
right.
You really truly are on your own through the whole process, the planning, the trip itself, and if anything does arise. And in this day and age, we're much more attuned because of social media and other media outlets to what's going on globally, from weather to global geopolitical crises and other issues that do arise in different parts of the world. So we're all attuned to it. Do you want to be on your own in any of those situations? I think there's safety in numbers. Some of those cliches really are true. And in this case, this does bring it to mind, because the cruise line industry is very affected by Hurricane Irma. A lot of the cruise lines are just canceling cruises, which are, they're relocating ports of call. Of course, their utmost priority is the safety of their passengers, and because of their visibility now with all of the media, they have to be right on point with that. So I would say if you have any cruises booked in that area, the cruise lines are going to do a great job, but to have somebody there with you like us to help you reroute your air, work on a refund, try to make sure that we protect your travel investment from a dollar spent standpoint when these things arise. That's where we come in, because we have the connections with these cruise lines. There's one more piece too, Bill, to it, is if you were to come to us and say, I'd love to go to St. Martin for a week, give me the times to not go, we would tell you in January, don't go in August or September.
Right.
So
hurricane
you most likely season. Would not have booked there in that time frame in the first place with our expertise. That's where we can help you on the front end of those things too.
Well, the travel consultants at Bon Voyage Travel, they know the Caribbean and they know these very popular areas with Tucsonans. And let's face it, cruising in the Caribbean is very popular, just like cruising to Alaska or doing a Hawaii. Now with the Caribbean and some of the areas, the infrastructure at St. Martin has just been totally devastated. And Ryan, as you know, St. Martin, a lot of people may not realize it, but it has become pretty much a Caribbean hub, even more so than San Juan.
It is a great destination. Yeah. They've done some great things with the infrastructure, building it up, and that's the really sad part of this devastating hurricane that's come through, is it's hitting places that either are too poor to build up in quick time or have built up and really invested. Either the French government, the British, or the United States has really poured into some of these ports some great investments and resources, and the devastation that they will see will change the Caribbean landscape for the immediate future. So people that might be cruising even in December could see some impact, and we can help. If you've booked it with us or plan to book with us, we can help talk to you about what to expect if those ports of call are on your itinerary.
And what are your alternatives? This is why, again, you book with someone like a Bon Voyage that has this wonderful reputation and has the trust. And there are other areas now that if folks are thinking, they were thinking maybe of a winter Caribbean cruise, maybe now Hawaii might look better to
them. You bet. There's lots of different areas.
There's cruising
opportunities. If you want to get really off the beaten path, we've talked about the Seychelles. I mean, there, you could get to some, if
now
you want
talking.
That beach and sand, right?
Well, and I've said to a lot of friends, and people know now I'm kind of rediscovering the Pacific, that by the time you do the day travel of air over to get to Miami or San Juan, you could be in Hawaii, or you could actually, Tahiti is only 8 hours from Los Angeles, so it's not that much different from Hawaii.
Yeah, when you start to put together your airfare to get to the Caribbean,
you
probably are in Tahiti faster.
You would
living
be.
In Tucson.
No, you would
so
be.
So for and, our Tucson listeners, thinking of the destinations that you've just come back from
and for folks that say, I could not afford Tahiti, yes, you can afford it. If you could afford Hawaii, you can afford Tahiti. There are all sorts of price levels. Getting back to weather, and I want to talk just a little bit, Ryan Hansen, about travel insurance. And when folks go to talk with the advisor, to their travel advisor at Bon Voyage, this is one of the areas that come up. You sit down with an advisor, this is going to come up, travel insurance.
Absolutely.
And
you're
it should come up, and
you're going to hear it in our offices. You're going to hear really more the phrase, it's travel protection. We're protecting your investment. And what we hear back all the time, well, I'm not going to cancel. And what you're alluding to is not that at all. This is things that are outside of your control where travel protection comes into play. And again, right now, something as significant as Hurricane Irma, the cruise lines, let's use that, or a hotel stay, they're most likely, because of good customer service, going to step up and
again,
refund or accommodate.
With a good reputation. They don't want bad media exposure.
That's
so
right.
The hotels are probably going to refund
They're
going
to do their best. But they're not going to step up in things short of a hurricane. That's where the travel protection comes in place. So you have, again, there's terms and conditions with all insurance, home insurance, car insurance, there's all of those things. So we're not immune to that in the travel protection space. It's very similar. So you have to follow the fine lines. But what it does is it protects an investment, and that's what you want to do. And it's things outside of your control. A family member becoming ill can be covered the night before you leave, if you've got an immediate family member that's
there. There are work-related issues, too, that are covered, and there are all levels. That may not be an entry-level area for protection, but it depends what you want. You can get covered.
And if you're looking at a Caribbean cruise, you're spending thousands of dollars, and so adding another couple hundred dollars to protect that, it would be asking yourself, well, I have a home. I'm spending thousands of dollars on my home, but you know what? Nothing's going to happen to my house because I'm going to take care of it. You can't live that way with your home, and no reasonable person would think like that. So take that same thought process as you're preparing your trip. So if you book it with us or not, I would recommend wholeheartedly travel protection. I take it out on every trip that I go on for things that are out of your control, more so than even the things that are in your control.
No, and when I plan for my trips, that is just one of the budget items that is always included, is that kind of travel
insurance. You don't need it till you need it.
No, you do not. So good information, certainly, with our session, Ryan. And, of course, this, we don't know how it's all going to play out in the Caribbean, but it is safe to say this is the recovery period in some of these islands is going to be substantial.
It is going to be. So if you have thoughts of traveling there, like you said, the Caribbean is a very popular winter destination, more so even than the summer. If you have thoughts or desires to go, talk to us about which islands are maybe not as affected or going to get back up sooner, or there's going to be hotel properties that by the nature of nature will not be hit as bad that we could recommend you stay at, or we're seeing the infrastructure being rebuilt faster. We're in tune to those things.
And you are in tune to those, and the areas certainly that were not affected that are still just great destinations, the booming area of the ABC Islands with Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao. Not touched. Southern Caribbean, really not touched here. One of my favorite areas is Martinique, the French island of Martinique. Pretty much not touched. Guadeloupe, its sister island, got a lot of rain, but not the devastation the winds and, from the northern parts of the Caribbean. Ryan, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you very much.
Love talking travel with you, Bill.
I love it. Bon Voyage Travel, that is the place. Let the travel experts at Bon Voyage let you travel like an insider. So much information on their website. That's the great starting point at bvtravel.com. We'll be right back.
Be there Saturday, September 9th, when the Wildcats welcome the Houston Cougars to Arizona Stadium. It's Tucson Community Night. Members of the Davis-Monthan Air Force Base will be honored, and the kids from Tucson Youth Football will play at halftime. Arizona football versus Houston this Saturday at 7:30. Get tickets at arizonawildcats.com/FB or call 621-CATS. Tickets start at just $12. Once again, that's arizonawildcats.com/FB or call 621-CATS.
Hi, this is Jeff with Enhanced Openings, Windows, Doors, and More. Did you know windows, doors, and skylights are about 30% of all the wall and ceiling areas of your home, but waste up to 80% of all your home's utility bills? Enhanced Openings is Tucson's Pella Select wholesale installation company. We'll save you money on Pella products and on installation.
Text the word Pella to 313131 and get free installation. Or call 686-5617, ROC-CR60305859, enhancedopenings.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. In studio, attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown and Hobb Kirk, attorneys at law. Luce Brown attorneys have three offices, two in Phoenix. Got a beautiful office on River Road here in Tucson. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's one of two dozen folks that we call upon regularly. I'm just so proud of this team of experts that we have that we can call on and share their expertise with our listeners. Don is the author of two very popular books, and these were not written to end up in the law office for his colleagues. These were written for consumers. Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, right there in the subtitle, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having me back.
Well, it's good to see you again. And a story torn from the headlines. How's that? A 4-3 vote last night, Tucson City Council. I think this was in executive session that the decision was made that they will not be pursuing an appeal or whatever of the high court ruling that forces the city to stop destroying confiscated turned-in guns. Don, give us a little background on this.
All right. So this concerns a Tucson ordinance that was first promulgated in 2005. And what it says is that the Tucson Police Department, after it seizes a gun, must dispose of it by destroying the firearm. So there's a Senate Bill 1487, which is one of our laws in Arizona, that allows individual lawmakers to direct the Attorney General's office to investigate claims that a local law conflicts with state statutes. Now, there's a state statute that says basically that any confiscated property has to be sold by the entity confiscating it. So a state representative from Oro Valley notified the Attorney General's office that he believed that there was a conflict, that the Tucson ordinance conflicted with this state statute, which requires the sale of basically these confiscated firearms. So there was a decision that just came down from the Arizona Supreme Court that agreed with the lawmaker. And the justices of the Arizona Supreme Court said that in this case, the state statute supersedes the Tucson ordinance. And in fact, if Tucson continues to violate the state statute, it risks losing its state shared revenues, which amount to about $50 million a year. So as you pointed out at the beginning of our discussion, last night, the city essentially agreed that it will stop destroying the guns that it confiscates and will now begin selling those weapons to registered firearms dealers. The city attorney estimates that that activity will generate about $100,000 a year in revenue for the city of Tucson.
Wow.
So I'm just curious. This was an Arizona Supreme Court ruling, Don Luce. Did they have the option, the city, do you know, to take it to the United States Supreme Court? Were there any other legal avenues, or was this pretty much the end of the road on a matter like this?
That's a really good question. Yeah. I'm not sure that an issue like this would have been of interest to the United States Supreme Court. And I'm having difficult in identifying what issue in this case would actually make it to the federal court.
Right.
This concerns the doctrine, essentially the doctrine of preemption. Mm-hmm. And what that means is if a state law conflicts with a city's ordinance, the state law controls regarding the same subject matter. That's very similar to the federal doctrine of preemption, which says that if a federal law conflicts with a state's law, the federal law controls. So when you look at it strictly from a legal principle perspective, it becomes, at least in my estimation, pretty evident how this case was going to end up. The result, I think, was pretty clear because the state law was right on point. It spoke to property that was confiscated by cities, and in this case, the property happened to be firearms, and the city ordinance required the disposal of that property without it being sold. And mm-hmm. so the Arizona Supreme Court, I think, predictably said that under the doctrine of preemption, the city ordinance fails.
All right, I want to move on to another big story, and that is about school vouchers. Been following this about what is going to happen. Will the people of Arizona have the last say on this? The folks who are opposed to Arizona school vouchers now have enough signatures to put this on the ballot in November of 2018. Now, what is at stake here, Don Luce?
All right. So let's, if we can, let's start at the beginning with regard to student vouchers. This concept has been around in Arizona since, I think, 2011. It's not a new idea. And I think even there was a constitutional challenge to the student voucher program years ago that made its way to the United States Supreme Court. The group challenging vouchers claimed that it was a misuse of taxpayer dollars to essentially use them for private education. The Supreme Court did not agree with the challengers, and the school voucher program has been around, as I said, for about a half a dozen years. Now, in the last legislative session in Arizona, which ended, I think, on May 10th of this year, one of the bills that had been passed on to the governor for signature was an expansion of the existing school voucher program. And under this expansion of the voucher program, the numbers would have gone up to about 30,000 students by the year 2022, from right now somewhere around 9,000 students.
So it was a dramatic expansion of who would be eligible for these vouchers.
A tremendous expansion. Yeah. And, you know, when we're talking about the cost of the vouchers, which I think is what this Save Our Schools group is looking at, if you have 30,000 students, and let's say the average voucher is $6,000,
right,
that's $180 million mm-hmm. In voucher expense. I think the opponents of the voucher expansion are concerned, and I'm not speaking to it from a political perspective, mm-hmm. strictly from a legal perspective. Mm-hmm. I think they're concerned that money is going to be diverted from public education private education.
Right. Taken from one pot of money to put in another.
Right. Now, what this new law, which is, as you pointed out, currently on hold, provides is that you no longer have to meet the current eligibility requirements. Under Senate Bill 1431, which is the law at issue, the eligibility requirements would essentially be done away with. It would be opened up essentially to, you know, any child in grades kindergarten through 12 It would be capped, as I mentioned, at 30,000, but the program would be expanded exponentially from where it currently is. Currently, only children of people in the military on active duty or foster children or kids in failing schools, those are the DNF schools, mm-hmm. or those living on Indian reservations are eligible for the voucher program.
This expands it.
Tremendously. Yeah. So what the group that is opposed to it has done is they've collected, apparently, enough signatures that the voters in November of 2018 are going to get an opportunity to decide whether we're going to expand our voucher program or not. Until then, it is on hold.
All right. Don Luce is the author of Arizona Laws 101. This is a handbook for non-lawyers in its second edition, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. And while I was on vacation, you had a very good session talking about estate planning. Shelley Fishman hosted that. That went very well.
We did. We spent an hour on the basics of estate planning, and I think we discussed some very useful information.
Don Luce of Luce Brown and Hobkirk Attorneys at Law. Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw, and Ray Allen will help out Mike on the other side of the glass. Together, they put a very informative hour together. Tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9, and then me, Bill Buckmaster, with you for our We'll Talk Transportation. Daryl Cole, City's Transportation Director, gives us an update. Where are we on the pavement restoration program? That's going to do it. On behalf of Ray, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.